You know, if we didn't have sound booth workers, we would have all sorts of problems. So I want to give those kiddos in the back and Brother Mike and Charlie just a round of applause. Amen. And I am thankful to be in his house and in his presence this morning. You know, I really feel like God is trying to get someone's attention, probably more than someone. And I'm going to ask you at this time, if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to put that cell phone to where we cannot hear it and it is not a disruption in the service. If I have any teenagers or children that are in the service right now and you think that you need to go to the bathroom, I want you to get up right now and I want you to go. Now, this is not a scripted church, and if you want a scripted church, I'm sure there are some of those in Logan County. But I'm not one of them because I would prefer to just let the Holy Spirit move in these services. And sometimes too many distractions can get the whole congregation to where they cannot receive the Word of God. And so that's what I'm here to do today. Why are you here? Ask yourself that. Why am I here? Am I here to receive the Word? Am I here to judge Sally Sue for what she came to church wearing? What am I here for? And whatever you're here for, you need to leave with it when you go. And I hope that you came for the Word. And I hope that you came for Jesus and to have some things change in your life. And if you don't hear another word I say, what I do want you to hear is this right here. Your life is important to God. There's so many church services that go by and people wonder, do I really matter? And if you don't hear anything I say, I want to tell you that you really do matter. And that you matter so much that God wants to put inside of you something that says, you know what, I need to surrender to God and I need to give Him my life. Because see, that's what He wants, is He wants your life not to come in and make it worse, but to come in and make it better, to come in and make it whole, to come in and make it full of purpose. And so I'm thankful to see each one of you here. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. There are so many needs. There are so many health needs. There are so many people in mourning and grieving. And I always have you stand on Sunday mornings because I never want you to forget that God has given you the ability to stand. Everything in the week may have wanted you to quit, may have encouraged you to just say, oh, this is too hard. But you know what? God caused you to be able to stand. If you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't like the life that I have right now, I want to tell you something. At least you have life. At least you have life. When you woke up this morning and you took your first breath while you were awake, you know what? That was a gift. That was a gift from God. Lord, in Jesus' name, all over the place this morning, God, I speak and I declare peace over your children right now. I speak to infirmity and I say it's gone right now in Jesus' name. I loose recovery, God, for every person that wants to be delivered right now in Jesus' name. I call out addiction in this place and I bind it up. God, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So God, right now in Jesus' name, I bind up addiction in this place. I bind up pornography in this place right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that the streets of Logan County, God, they're saturated with you. God, for every person that is selling and cooking drugs and dope, God, I ask right now that you would expose them in this county right now. God, I ask that you would save them, but God, I ask that you would put a stop to it. Lord, for every person and they're hurting, God, on the inside, Lord, I ask that you would give them peace right now. Lord, for everybody under the sound of my voice and they've been considering taking their own life, God, I ask for the peace of God that passes all understanding right now. In Jesus' name. And God, I hand this service over to you. I tell you to have your way, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to minister this morning. The title of this message is called Overwhelmed But Overcoming. Overwhelmed But Overcoming. When I look around Here lately, everybody that I know, including myself, they are overwhelmed. It seems like life has gotten very difficult. The problems at times seem bigger than God. And I want to tell you something, nobody is bigger than God. And no problem is bigger than God. But there are times where you're going to find yourself overwhelmed. And I want to minister to you right out of the Word of God. I pride myself on not teaching anything that is not biblical. If I am ministering it behind this sacred desk, I will have you chapter and verse. So go with me now to Esther chapter 4. And I'm going to give you a backstory. And I used to think I didn't have to give backstories, but you know, one of the things that I understand now is that not everybody knows every Bible account that took place. Not everybody has been with Jesus long enough to have read the Word like I have. And so I'm going to give you a backstory. Esther, the book of Esther, was written, and one of its main purposes of its writing is because the author wanted it to be very apparent to anybody that ever read it from the beginning of time to now that God will see you through your problems. God knows what you're going through, and He knows when those moments get so difficult that it's overwhelming. And there was a queen, and her name was Queen Vashti. And she dishonored her king, and the king's name was King Xerxes. She dishonored him. They were at a big party, and they were in the palace, and the King Xerxes, he told his officials, he said, "Go get the queen. I want everybody to see how beautiful she is." That irritated the queen, and she said, "You tell him I'm not coming." Well, it embarrassed him, and he basically got rid of her. He said, I'm not going to have somebody that's going to not do what I tell them to do. Get rid of her. I want a new queen. And so they began to have what is called a beauty pageant, basically, that lasted for a year. And they took young women, young virgin women, actually, and they gathered them up from their area, and they put them in a year-long program. And 6 months of it was like to enhance their beauty, and the other 6 months was to get the oils and the perfumes, and they really did some number on these girls. And so then he looked at all of them, and he came across a woman, and she was beautiful, and her name was Esther. And Esther was a Jew, and he chose Esther. And after he chose Esther, there was a wicked man, and his name was Haman. And the king had made him a top official. And Haman hated the Jews. And he specifically hated the Jews because there was one particular day where he was going through the town, and the king had just made an ordinance, and the ordinance was when Haman passes by, everybody has to bow down to Haman. Well, there was a specific Jew named Mordecai. And Mordecai believed in God with all of his heart. And he would not bow down. And I'm going to tell you some things right here today, and I'm going to give you some key points out of the Word of God. When it matters the most, you better be what God has called you to be. When it's the hardest that it's ever been, you better be who you're supposed to be. When all the chips are down in your life, you better still have the integrity that you say that you do, because it's not a matter of if hard times will come. At some point in life, you're going to struggle. The Word of God tells you that you're going to struggle when He says in His Word, in this life, in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. See, it warns us and it tells us there will be struggle in this lifetime. And you know what? I've learned that it's how you deal with that struggle. It's how you deal with it. And one of the ways that you deal with struggle is you better be who you're supposed to be. And the problem with that, Brother Mike, is a lot of people, they don't even know who they are. And that's why they have problems. So Mordecai, here comes Haman. Haman looks down at Mordecai, and Mordecai is not bowing down. And he gave him another opportunity, and he still wouldn't do it. And that developed a hatred in Haman's heart for the Jews. So Haman went to King Xerxes and he said, there's the Jews and they're not doing what you put into law. And I want to take care of them for you and I want to kill them all in your honor. Well, the king allowed that. And he said, okay, let's put it into ordinance. And exactly what you said, Haman. The only problem with that is that the king's new wife was a Jew. The very people that the king had just said, it's okay if you kill them, it's okay if we annihilate them, he did not know that his wife was a Jew. Well, that always causes an issue. There's things about your spouse you probably still don't know. Amen? People that have been married a long time, I'm sure this sweet gentleman, he said, we've been married, was it 62 years? There's still, Miss Fran, isn't there sometimes you find out new things about him and you thought, well, I didn't ever know that about him. Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. So here's Esther, and she just became the queen. You know, she was just an ordinary girl. She wasn't rich. If people looked at her, they would have said, well, that's a nobody. You know what? A lot of times when people look at you, they may say, well, that person's a nobody. They don't count. They don't this and they don't whatever. But you know what? When God puts that favor on your life, nobody can deny it. When he puts his hand of grace over your life, there's no mistaking that that's God, and that's exactly what he did here. And so in Esther chapter 4, we're going to begin to read. Now Esther had a cousin. Esther's parents both died, and her cousin Mordecai took her, and he raised her as his daughter. And so in here, in Esther chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. It says here, when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, and he's talking about the king's decree that all the Jews were going to be put to death. When he had heard that all had been done, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But when he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. And when Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, and assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. Now let me tell you something. Kelly, 5 years ago, couldn't have preached this message because there was experiences that I did not have at the time. But what would you do if everybody that you loved was mourning? If everybody that you loved was in grief, if everybody that you loved was wailing. See, the whole Jewish race was on one girl. Now, there are times in our life where we are sitting in our life and we are sitting in life's problems and we are going, it's all on me. It's all on me. There were times in my past where I said that, but that was not reality. There's times where you feel like it's all on me, poor me, and that's not reality. But let me also say this with great humility. There's times where you're saying this is all on me, and by golly, it is all on you. There's times, Brenda Babe, where certain things get so bad that you're the only one that God can depend on to do the right thing in that situation. And when it comes to those moments, you have to take that feeling of being overwhelmed and you've got to push that over to the side, because you don't have time to slip up in some of these moments in your life, because those moments are divine appointments. Those moments are divine seasons in your life that God has orchestrated because He can count on you. Because He can count on you. Can God count on you today? Can He count on you? So here's Esther. Everybody's crying. Her cousin that was like a father to her, crying. She sent clothes out to him. He wouldn't wear them. Verse 6, so Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation. See, Haman just didn't want a few of them to die. He wanted the whole race to be annihilated. Just like now. Parallel that. And it said, then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount. I'm going to skip to verse 8. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and to explain it to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for help for her people. And Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. And then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all of the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend the golden scepter to him and spare his life. So, back then, it's not like it is now. You can usually get to your spouse at any time you want to, but it wasn't like that. The king was in the inner courts. She couldn't just go waltzing in there. He had to send for her, and he had not sent for her in 30 days. There was a lot of things going on, and the king was very troubled. Now, Esther said, remind my cousin, Mordecai, that nobody can go in the inner courts and talk to the king because the punishment would be death. And if he extends that to me, then he won't kill me. But, you know, I'm going to risk my life to just go in there like Mordecai said. You know what? That's scary. It's scary to walk by faith. And sometimes instead of walking by faith, we walk in fear. And then that fear puts us in a place where we are overwhelmed. Let me tell you something. You got to come to that place where you'll do what God said, no matter if it costs you your life or not. Most of the time, it's not going to cost you your life. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. Verse 14, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. A couple Sundays ago, I preached a message called Even If Faith. And here's what Mordecai was saying. Esther, this is what God needs you to do. And he said, don't think that just because you're in the king's palace that this isn't going to reach to you, because it is. But know this, Esther. If you will not do this, it's still going to happen, because God will use somebody else. But it won't be the same. A lot of times we're overwhelmed because we did not do what God told us to do. I'm going to say that one more time. Many times when we can just move away all the crap that we've gotten ourselves into, when we can move it all out of the way, what we find out, Miss Barbara, is this right here. A lot of our problems we caused ourselves. And a lot of our feeling overwhelmed is because we did not listen to God the first lap around. And our problems have come home like a little chicken to nest. And we got them problems right up in our lap because we would not listen to the voice of God when He told us, when He warned us, when He said, this is what you need to do with your life. See, this isn't a funny thing. And if you didn't come to hear the word, then I don't know what you're here for, because it ain't funny and games to me. This is your life. And one of these days, we're going to have an appointment, all of us, and that's called Judgment Day. And Judgment Day is for everybody. We're going to all be there. And we're going to all give an account. But we're talking about being overwhelmed today. Now, Esther had every reason to be overwhelmed. She had every reason to be horrified. Mordecai, how many of you still got your daddy on this earth? Well, that's what he was to her. That was a father to her. I don't know about y'all, but when my daddy tells me something, I really try to do it as best I can. So she had all of this weighing on her. And he says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. Let me tell you something. Do what God told you to do. So many people, God will tell them to do something, and they'll sit around and they'll say, well, I don't know if that was God. God, show me a sign. Show me a sign, Lord. Lord, if it's really you, I want that when I pass by the ditch today, I want there to be one orange flower and one poodle across the road. And God, if that happens, then I will know it's a sign for me to do what you said to do. And let me tell you something. So many Christians are praying that God give them a sign. The fact that He spoke to you, that's your sign right there. When you hear the voice of God, the Word of God says, my sheep, they hear my voice. You don't need a sign. What you need is to walk in obedience that God has put on your life, because the obedience is what's going to save you. Amen. The obedience. Brother Larry pointed out a very funny fact, and it was this right here. The majority of the church at large, not this church, not just specifically this church, but there's some people in here that this is what they're like. The majority of the church at large cannot accept and receive correction. And because of that, many people fail. Here's what happens, Angel, with most people. Most people, they get their irritations. Maybe the pastor did something, and guess what they think, Mikey? It's time to go to a different church. And then they develop the ability to be a church hopper, and their lives continue to cycle. Why? Because they never put down roots. They never place themselves under the authority that God called them to. That's why the Word of God says, now I have placed each member in the body as I see fit. A lot of members are outside of the body that they belong to, and that's why their lives are off. Amen. Another reason why people's lives get off is because they never gave their life to God. They think that everything is a joke. Everything is not a joke. You're going to live one time, and you are not coming back as a butterfly or a dog. Or anything else that you think you want to come back at. You got one crack at it, and this is now. And here's what I tell the ladies that I minister at the jail. You either want to stop or you're going to keep going. And sin's going to make you pay more than you wanted to pay. There's a price. The wages of sin is death. The Word of God is not going to change just because you get your feelings hurt. It'll make you go further than you wanted to go. You know what people sin? It makes them do things that they never thought that they were capable of doing. Then they find themselves in the middle of a sin and they think, how did I get here? Because maybe you bought that sin because when God told you to stop, you wouldn't stop. You'll blink and 5 years of your life will be down the tube. You're going to stay in the sin. You'll blink again 10 years. See, you're going to be there for your kid's childhood or you're going to be an absent parent and you get to make that decision. Amen? Now, I'm not being mean, but I am going to preach you the Word in its entirety. Why? Because when I stand before God, I want to say, God, I said everything that you wanted me to say. And half of them got offended and left, and the other half of them, well, here they are with me right here. Amen? And Mordecai says, but you and your father's family will perish if you don't do what you're supposed to do. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. There are many times you will find yourself in a very overwhelming situation to no fault of your own. My biggest battles that I have been through in my life were to no fault of my own. Paul, I did not create the problem. I did not do anything to cause it. But by golly, it didn't matter. I was in it. Same thing with Esther. She did not create the problem that she was in. But Tyler, it was a real issue to the point where they were all about to die. And her cousin, Mordecai, he says, look here, do what God told you to do. This is overwhelming. Everybody you love is hurting. They're all in the streets. They're crying. They're this and they're that. And I know that. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God will send deliverance through somebody else. But you're not going to make it if you do that. And Esther, for such a time as this, for such a time as this. You know that beauty pageant, that thing, Angel, can you imagine being a young girl and being snatched from everything you know, from your home, from your family, from your community, you and a bunch of strangers you don't know, and you're stuck in some beauty regimen for a year. Now look here, Haman didn't create this law that he got put in a year or so after that occurred. But look here. God knows the end from the beginning. And He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And before you have the problem that you're in right now, He already made a preparation for it. Amen. Before you had the infirmity on your body, He already sent His Son to heal your body. But by golly, when God calls you to do something, and He calls you to do a certain something, for such a time as this, you'd better do what God called you to do. Because it could be life or death for you. Now, I'm not trying to scare somebody, but the Word of God says, now you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? You choose you this day. Do you want life or do you want death? The Word also says, now I have sent, John chapter 3, verse 16. Boys, put it up there for me. Usually I could quote this, but my mind, I'm operating here. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He didn't send Him to condemn us. He sent Him to save us. And to give us life. And to give it to us in abundance. But many times when we're overwhelmed, Miss Mary, we're telling God, God, I'm so tired. God, I can't. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, everything is going wrong. And God is saying, look here, you can. You can. When we've messed up our life so bad and we don't know how it's going to ever be fixed. Let me tell you something. If you are in a place and you don't know what's going to go on with your life because you feel like you've messed it up so bad, I'm going to give you the best advice, biblical, that you could ever get. Stop right there. Get on your knees and say, God, in Jesus' name, I surrender, and God, I give you this life. Lord, I give it to you right now. God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to come on the inside of me and begin to live and begin to dwell and to begin to have your being inside of me. The Word of God says, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. And you get to choose. Do I want to be a mess up for 5 years? Then keep on going. Do I want to be a blazing moron for 10 years? Just keep on going. Now, I know this is strong, but I'm going to preach it to where we can all get it. Some people got 30, 40-year-old kids, and they're still messing up, and you're still babying them. Stop it. Stop petting that demon, and that demon's going to leave your grown child, but not while you're petting it. Amen. Amen? And Mordecai said, for such a time as this, for such a time as this, the first year of my pastorship, I told God how wrong He was for calling me right in the beginning of a pandemic. I thought, God, you've missed the mark on this for sure. First of all, there's some days where I don't like people, God. I don't even like myself. And you want me to do what? Be in the people business? Oh, my gosh. And, amen, right? Well, I learned the secret to it, Jimmy, is when I'm having them days, I just don't go into public.
No, I try.
But there's some days I don't like nobody, and that nobody includes myself. I was having a day like that yesterday, and nothing was going to suit me. He took me to my favorite restaurant, Stobie's, didn't like it. That took me, just did everything that I wanted to do. Look here, I was not having it. I told God how wrong He was. I thought, Lord, this is not Your will. Oh, my gosh. I thought this thing was like the flu and it was going to be over in 2 weeks. And by golly, it's still here. I had never heard the word pandemic till 2019 and 2020. And it got to a point, Brother Paul, where I remember one service I got behind here, and here's how frazzled I was. I thought all my hair that I paid all this money for is all going to turn gray. And I told everybody, I said, I don't even want to hear the word coronavirus mentioned in this church again. Because that's how sick of it I am. But I remember sitting back one day with all the chaos. See, look here. Chaos ain't leaving just because you're having a bad day. Chaos ain't leaving just because you're a brat and you get everything else your way. Look here. You've got life, and by golly, it's going to come to everybody at some point. And I was having a conversation with God, and God began to speak to me, and He said, Kelly, and He brought me here. For such a time as this, for such a time as this. Kelly, you're telling me how you can't do it because you're not prepared. I done prepared you. Amen. 2 years. 2 years before I became pastor here. For 2 years solid, I preached every single Sunday morning. For 2 years. Before I ever became a pastor. I preached my first official message when I was 19 years old. I've almost been preaching for 20 years. Stop telling God how unqualified that you are. Stop telling Him how you can't do it. Stop letting that overwhelming feeling. Look here, I'm preaching myself. I was all up in my feelings yesterday. I got to preach this message first to myself, but by golly, I'm going to preach to all of us because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And that's an Arkansan term that I know you can understand. In the middle of all that overwhelming stuff, let me tell you something. God has prepared you, and you can do it, and you can make it. And not only can you, but that thing, that problem that you thought was going to be your downfall, that thing is making you. You're going to come out of that far better than what you ever thought you ever would. Amen. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all of the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. What was she saying? I need you guys to fast and I need you to pray. See, what happened to fasting and praying? Amen. Ain't nobody got the answer for that. Whatever happened to fasting and praying? We're going to go over that. Because some of you are looking at me like, what the heck's fasting? Uh-oh. I got to give up some of the little Debbies or something? Oh, my gosh. No, that could not be in the Word. Well, it is. So she said, hey, Mordecai, get everybody and have them fast and have them pray. I'm going to have my maids do the very same thing. She says, do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. Somebody needs you at your best. Somebody needs that person that God has made up inside of you. We didn't need Esther all busted up thinking she couldn't do it. We needed her to say, even if I perish, I perish. That's what it took. See, God hasn't called you to do something that He has not equipped you to do. Now, let me tell you also, what God will call you to do, it's going to take everything that you got. And at times, there's going to be a discomfort. Why? Because you're growing. It's not easy to grow. Y'all remember having growing pains when you were little? Remember your kids coming to you and telling you that their knees was hurting and this was hurting and that was... There's growing pains that go on in your salvation. It's not always going to be easy. But you need to be able... God needs to be able to count on you. And God could count on her, and that's why He called her. He called her to be the queen before she was ever born. Why? Because He knew that at the end of the day, she would say, you know what? I'm going to do this. If I die while doing it, I'm still going to do it. A lot of times people at the first moment of something getting a little hard, they're done. They're done. And it's that type of attitude and that type of behavior that gets you working towards you being overwhelmed. Amen. A lot of times we're overwhelmed. And it's because we think we still have the option of just not doing what God told us to do. Well, look here. You can do whatever you want to, but it'll cost you. It'll cost you. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 6, verse 1, or chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 6 and 7. And I want to pull some things out of the Word of God, and I want to put them inside of you for the next few minutes here. Amen. I love you, Bobby. First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Hallelujah. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. See, just because you're going through something doesn't mean you shouldn't have joy. It's hard to have it when you're going through something. But the Word says, wherein ye greatly, not just a little rejoicing, but ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. How many of you, say season. Does anybody see where this is saying your whole cotton picking life? No. Nothing that you're going through. God's not saying it's permanent, but He's saying for a season. Though ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What is this saying? Though now for a season, there's some things that you're going through. They're heavy. How many of you, you got a heavy heart this morning? You came in here and you came in heavy-hearted and you're hurting. Amen. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Look here. Your trial of your faith is precious to you. It's precious to God. The very thing that you thought was going to do you in, God's not going to let it. It's called the trial of your faith, and it's valuable. On your worst day, don't be telling God how much you hate your life, because look here, He is already working to turn it around. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. How many of you feel like there are some things you've gone through this year and you feel like you've been tried with a little bit of fire? Amen. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your trial is more precious than gold. It's got a value to it. Stop telling God that you can't. Stop telling God it's too hard. You say, well, what do I tell Him? Look here. Just tell Him you surrender. Say, God, I'm yours. You can have me. Sometimes I tell God, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me, but you can certainly have me. He wants you. In the middle of that being overwhelmed, step outside of that feeling for a moment and look at your life. You still have a beautiful life. How can I say that? Because God woke you up this morning with a gift, and that gift was life. And the Word of God says, now I have come that you would have life and have it in abundance. Whatever you feel like you're lacking right now, God sent His Son to give you life, and not just any life, to give you a life full of abundance. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, understand this. Step outside of the feeling and start stepping into faith and get yourself to where you're saying, and your life is aligned with the Word of God, because when it's truly aligned, see, you realize that nothing is impossible to those that believe. With God, all things are possible. God doesn't have failure in your future. But you got to pick Him. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Esther pulled out something very important, and she called for a time of prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 through 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and they said, why could we not cast him out? See, there was a boy, and he was demon-possessed. The disciples tried to cast out the demon. They couldn't do it. They, in secret, went to Jesus, and they said, why could we not cast this demon out? And He tells them in verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. See, a lot of times we're asking God, God, why did you let this happen? Or God, why this and why that? Well, look here, it ain't nothing on God. If you can ask in your heart and not doubt, you can have what you ask for. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. This is a promise in the Word. What is the requirement? Faith. When you have it, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it's got to move. Whatever that mountain is. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. There are some things that you are believing God for. There are some things that you need in your life. There are some things that your life is depending on, and you're not going to get them except through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. I've took you to a place in the Old Testament where Esther said, we need to pray and we need to fast. Here we are in the New Testament, and the New Testament is saying there are some things, they ain't happening but through prayer and fasting. Dad, at some point, you need to preach on prayer and fasting. Or I do. One of us does. What are some biblical reasons for fasting? To strengthen your prayer. Seeking God's guidance. Seeking deliverance. To express repentance and return to God. Those are just a few. It's good to fast while praying and seek God's guidance for a specific thing. Direction from God. If you continue to feel overwhelmed about something, stop talking about it. Say, God, what can I fast? Well, look here, whatever you love the most. If it's Dr. Pepper, that's what you need to do. Fasting is geared towards this right here. I'm going to give something up because I want God to come into that place of my life where I don't have some answers. And every time I feel like I want that thing, maybe it's that Dr. Pepper, maybe it's this or maybe it's that, but every time that thing crosses my mind, I'm going to pray, God, thank you. Right now, I am fasting this. God, I accept, Lord, everything that you've got concerning this issue of mine. Last place for me this morning. Psalms chapter 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed. You know what? It's not a sin to be overwhelmed. God just says you don't have to be. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many of you know that we serve the rock of ages? Amen. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than me. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Sound boys, put up Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, King James Version. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Here's what I believe that God's doing. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice, what did we talk about today? Hearing God. If any man hear my voice, and open the door. Here's the biggest promise that you're ever going to get out of the Word of God. I will come into him. And will sup with him. What does that mean? I'll be with him. I'm going to come into that heart. And I'm going to live and I'm going to dwell inside of that person that will open up that door and let me be their Lord. and He with me. And He with me. Is there anybody in this congregation this morning and you can say, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. If there is anybody, if you'll raise your hand, I'm going to come and I'm going to pray with you. I don't do it every service, but by golly, I'm doing it today. And I'm going to begin to pray with you. If you'll stand up. Have you ever given the Lord your life? You ready? It ain't going to be easy. But He's going to be with you. I want you to pray and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to You as a sinner. And God, I ask You right now to come into my heart and live. Lord, today, I make You my Lord and my Savior. God, I ask You to forgive me of my sins and give me a